Hello and welcome to today's episode of Shoot the Takedown, our podcast which discusses all things mixed martial arts. Now, this is the back of the ever popular Shoot the Defense podcast. And on today's episode, we have an interview with Tam Khan, who is a pioneer of mixed martial arts in the Middle East. And the regular host for the program will be myself, Gosta Roussis, alongside John Hobbs, who has over 30 years' experience in teaching martial arts as well as practicing.
The gentleman to my right is a guy that I've known for close to 20 years. And it's an inspirational figure who has his own gym, he's got his own MMA organisation. What haven't you done, Mr. Tam Khan? How are you doing?
I'm good, how you been?
I'm good.
Long time. Last time I saw you, we didn't have facial hair, I don't think. And we could say we want and not get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Well, I met you 20 years ago, Barnet College.
Yeah.
Right? You were a big guy then, you're an even bigger guy now, right? But the funny thing is, when I hear the word Canvey Island, or should I say the words, or the town Canvey Island, I always think of you because you're the person that introduced me to that place. I've never heard of it before, never knew about it, and then all I knew from you is that there was a rivalry between Southend and Canvey Island. But forgive me if I'm wrong, you come from an Afghan background, is that right?
Yeah.
So what was it like growing up in that region, which is predominantly British? Did you get a bit of stick? What was it like for you growing up?
You mean predominantly Caucasian?
Ah.
We're all British, no?
Yes. But, yes.
Now, honestly, it was the best experience of my life. I'm not gonna lie and say I had racism. Probably never experienced in my life. Maybe the odd chav, council estate chav, but even then, I don't think it's a short video. Yeah, hacky, like when you're like 10. But I wasn't, I've been raised by my, especially my mum, never take any kind of shit kind of guy. And we come from a Pashtun kind of background. It's a tribe which originates from Afghanistan, which is like kind of proud people, strong. So we're like straight people. We fear nothing. And as kids, we knew that. So best memories of my life, probably the only brown face on the island at one point, maybe four families on a small island. But great memories, great people. And that era was good. Not like now, not with the PC culture and stuff. Everyone got on. Muslim, Christian, Jew, whatever you were. I never experienced racism. And my dad got a job in that area, so we moved as a family because I was born in North London.
Oh yeah? Whereabouts?
Edgware Hospital.
Oh, okay.
Lived in Colindale, Edgware, Hendon, maybe Finsbury Park. Then moved to Essex at like when I was 9, 10. So I went new normal, straight to senior school. So that was hard. It's from London, where it's multicultural, straight to like this. And it was one of those places where, in a way, being different was the best thing because you're more noticeable. Girls are like, oh, he's a bit exotic. So, you know, even at age, like I had my little Bollywood Buffon haircut and curtains and shit. And,
I can't imagine you.
Yeah. Then he had a spiky eye, some stupid haircut. I got bleached my head blonde once, and, like earrings. But yeah, honestly, I can't say bad. England's always home. For me, that's home. Like, whatever my background, ethnicity is, England's home. Where I'm born and raised, and I love the place. Every country has its ups and downs, but yeah, there is racism, of course, out there, but I never experienced it in that scene. Essex was one of the best places to live in those days. I loved it. Southend-on-Sea, Benfleet, Leigh-on-Sea, Canvey Island, which is like a granny retirement area, but after 5 p.m. there's nothing to do and nothing to see. All the shops close. You have to drive to a petrol station to, like, 20 minutes to get anything at night, but great place.
I can imagine. And you ended up at Barnet College, Russell Lane, which is now, well, they've knocked it down, they built homes and all that kind of stuff. I don't think you've been there since you've come to Dubai and all that. Again, we were doing H&D business and management, and in comes Tam with a beige leather jacket when I first saw you. And you were with Barish as well.
Yeah.
Guy who you two used to hang around together a lot, you know. And to be fair, a lot of us, we all knew each other from in one way, shape or form. You know, we either went GMBQ together at the same college.
Yeah.
We either went to secondary school together. Or we just knew each other from North London. But you and another guy came in, you're like, who are these guys?
Yeah.
You know? And to be fair, and without kissing your ass or anything, it's almost as if you guys took over the whole bloody year group. Because you had so much charisma, you guys used to go out a lot. I think we kind of look up to you in that respect because, yeah, again, you used to mention Caviar and the lot, you used to go out and know that kind of stuff. You're like, we want to be like these guys.
Okay. But
you got into a few scuffs, didn't you?
Yeah, what, in Barnet College?
Not that college, but during the time that you were at college, you used to go out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was cuffs. Do you know what it was? I was a cockney boy kind of thing in North London, so I got there and everyone was like, yo, what's up, you fam? You're good, and I was like, huh? Right. And I think in the lingo, there was a few words. I remember when I was laughing, I didn't get it. There was a few words you guys used to use. And I knew no one. I just wanted to go to London to see different people, different races. I think that's a college where people can get in uni. We all went to that college.
Yeah, right.
We're all naughty, you know? So in my culture as well, these are the kind of places you have to go. Because our parents are like, you, in my culture, oh, hey, listen, studying, degrees, this, that, so kind of forced into it. And yeah, like even at college, there was a few scuffs, and I think people realised that I was training, fighting for long, many years then, so after once or twice they knew, and yeah, like, you know, I never touched a drug in my life, never touched alcohol being a Muslim, I'm like, never my pool. Ever since, like, I used to like women, I'm straight, you know, but and I used to, just like a fight. Yeah, young guys, like, it was innocent.
Testosterone.
Yeah, it wasn't guns and knives. I mean, it was, but it wasn't like now. It was a hierarchy, just juke it up, have a one-on-one and shake hands. And if they're doing it, everyone sits back, everyone jumps on one guy, hey, what are you doing? Like, so it was a... that kind of era, and yeah, like, you know, people try and test you and stuff because you're different, people don't know, you think you're hard, and, but honestly, like, it's a part of just being a testosterone-fueled alpha male, you know, like, you're young, you're stupid, but you don't regret it, it just makes you who you are, it's just the experiences of life.
Yeah, you know? But you just said that you were training to be a fighter, so was your aim to be in MMA? Because, look, let's be honest, I mean, I don't know too much about the industry. It's a fairly new thing for me. I could tell you maybe a few names. Obviously, you guys know yourself, like, you know, Khabib and all these other guys. I mean, I know Sean Wheelock on a personal basis, but that's about it, and even Art David. But apart from that, that's all I know about MMA. So back then in 2000, 2001, was it growing? Was it something that you knew about and you wanted to get into? Or was it a different kind of sport that you were specialising
in
that time?
I fell in love with it when I saw the first UFC, Royce Gracie, and I actually bought his martial arts magazine, and I was like, what is this? I need to do this, it's unbelievable. And in that time in UK, boxing was big, Wing Chun, and obviously, you've got sports thing, martial arts, there was no jiu-jitsu and stuff.
Mm.
And I just wanted to do it, and I found a coach, was my coach this day. I found a guy actually Southend, Daniel Bazaar. And I walked past a restaurant there. He was like the hard man of the town. He was older than me, like maybe 8, 10 years. I said, I teach Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. I'm like, what? Like, coincidence. Walked past a window. I went to spoke to him. And he actually travels California to learn with the Gracies. I'm like, okay, I want to train this and that. Started with him, like 2-3 people in a church hall bringing the mats out, training. And I just fell in love with the sport. And it's the most modern form of fighting. I just became a natural, especially the grappling aspect of it. I loved it, like, physical, like, you know, like the Greco-Roman days of how combat really was, 2 men in the Colosseum, and I just loved it. It wasn't like pressure, I did it for passion. It wasn't like, I mean, you used to get paid peanuts in those days, no social media, nothing. But it was just a passion. I always wanted to do it. And I knew, though, in my country, you couldn't accept, so I always wanted to get a job, but at that time, MMA, you couldn't retire, it wasn't a big money thing. Even if you were in the UFC, you weren't making nothing, like it was T or T's. And it was just the way it was, you know? But it wasn't in my head to become pro. I mean, I wanted to become pro, but not as a career. It was like, I trained 4 or 5 hours a week, that's it. Study, work, it was just passion. So, like, how it's grown now with the people after training and strength and condition coach and nutrition, we had none of that. Imagine we had that, like, we had some raw talent guys, like, you don't know what you're limited to do. Like, I see guys now, I'm like, they're asked, I'm like, you have everything, you have sponsor, we had nothing. It's like, training, weight groups, there was no really My first fight was against about 110 kilo maybe. I was just 92 dripping wet. Just fought, and it was just the best era. Like, the best era of the original UK MAC, and I loved it. I loved it.
Boy, you've gone from strength to strength, obviously, and, you know, again, you kind of disappeared off the face of the planet after we graduated in 2002. So how long did it take for you to kind of specialise what you're doing and then end up out here? Was it like a gradual process, or did you decide, right, I'm going to Dubai, I'm going to that part of the world just to see what I can do and then take it from there?
Well, it was, I went to Dubai on holiday in 2005 and 6, and I just loved the place, and I wanted to train, I had a fight coming up. So I was looking on Google and stuff and checking for, there was not one place to train. I'm like, what is this place? Like, this is Dubai, this is booming, this is the next like place to be for the future and stuff, and there's no MMA gyms. You'd have a karate dojo, one jiu-jitsu place, a boxing gym maybe, another 30 minutes away. So I went back to UK after my holiday, and I was like in the cold, sitting outside Tesco's Extra getting a sandwich on a break, and I'm like, fuck this, this is depressing. And I'm like, you know what, I'm packing up, I'm going there. I thought, fuck it, I'm going to give it a go, I'm going to go set up this and that. And I had a few goals, I thought, it don't work, I'll come back in a few months. I landed in 2008, July 15th, and I swear, never just turned back. First 2 months was hard, knew no one, maybe one person, now I just... I can't see myself living anywhere else. I love the place. It's like home. And alhamdulillah, like every goal I had, I achieved. A lot of hard work and persistence and just hustling. But I always had that passion, and no one knew the sport. And I really, probably one of the oldest in my family, built the sport here. As you know, right, one of the first guys to get it mainstream. You know, so I was proud of that.
Oh, absolutely, you should be. I mean, I've checked your LinkedIn profile, and is there something along the lines of you've got your own federation out here, is that correct? Or your own version of the UFC? Obviously, you're not
that. Yeah. Like, so, mix it to all those listening to what a football thing. MMA is more, it's like a sport, it's like football, soccer, whatever you call it. And then you get the La Liga, the Premiership, Bundesliga. So the UFC is like, what's the best, La Liga or Premiership now?
A lot of people say the Premier League, but let's just say La Liga, because
it's La Liga. So, and the WBC in boxing, then you've got the Bellator and that. So, you have promotion. So, after my promotion, Dubai Fight Championship, I started out in 2011. I do amateur, and I just try to build a sport here and get athletes doing it. So, I've got my own promotion, I've got professional fighters. I formed the first ever Emirati means born, Dubai-based born citizen to go and fight on an international level, on a high level. So, basically like signing someone to the Premiership or the league, that's a huge milestone. I did that.
It's like a developmental thing, like NXT, so to speak.
First promotion in Dubai, Dubai Fight Championship. The amateur, we've got, I bought the first Emirati fighters like for seminars, like Royce Gracie, Vanderlei Silva, and the likes of Anderson Silva, Alistair Overeem, Golden Saki. We've had a lot of stars, boxers, and Khabib we brought to the gym. So, it's always a learning curve. And then I opened many facilities, full-time facilities, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do my own brand. Fuck it, I've always got this name, I'm going to get my own brand, my own name. So I formed TK Marine Fitness, the brand, in about 2014, 15. And now, it's 2020, I've got my brand, built a good brand, alhamdulillah, the gym's doing very well, successful, a lot of active members, as you saw earlier. And it's not just MMA, it's fitness, CrossFit, Pilates, yoga, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, boxing, MMA, everything.
This is basically a six-year spell of opening a gym and getting this far. So, effectively, you've seen the opportunity, as you said, you've jumped on it, and you've reaped the benefits. That's pretty much it, isn't it? You work your ass off, and this is where you're at. I mean, you mentioned some incredible names in the sport, and it's not just MMA fighters that come to your gym. You've got wrestlers, you've got footballers, you've got all sorts coming, haven't you?
Yes. I have, and I apologise to everyone watching this. It's just, this is like it is. I get like...
He's a busy man, very busy guy. I mean, I've had you on for, 15 minutes? I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, our WhatsApp conversations are like, you know what, I'm going to give him some time to get back to me.
Yeah, it looks like an idiot, but... It's just in Dubai's peak time, and I had to see my boy Stel, and I thought some delivery and refers and idiots message me like stupid things. So anyway.
Well, listen, you know I appreciate this time, because I know you're a busy guy, and you know you didn't have to do this, but at the same time, we've known each other for a hell of a long time. I think this is more like a catch-up, really, because
we have little catch-ups in there, and it's just supposed to be in UK, and it got delayed. I was there quick, and I want to go back, and now I've got kids, so it's just, you know...
Congratulations.
Business, kids, this, that, and life just gets difficult and tough, but I'm humble. I never complain. We're all alive, fortunately.
So. Absolutely. So how are you finding fatherhood? Because we had this conversation briefly earlier, but...
I swear, best thing on earth, like, to all those who, like, whatever circumstances they're in, they have the kids or whatever, but so I don't want to rub it in, like, nothing comes close. Like, I would give up everything I've done and still have the kids be grown. Yeah, whatever, I don't care. Like, for me, it's the best achievement of my life, and it's the best blessing. Honestly, nothing beats that experience, and it's life-changing. Like, I honestly don't care about much other stuff, like social media, being rich, struggling. I swear, just enjoy them, raise them healthy, successful, long, successful lives, and that's my goal.
Well, mate, every time I talk to friends about you and I say, you know, you remember Tam from college and all that kind of stuff, they're like, yeah, what's he doing with this? I was like, listen, just go on Facebook and find out what you're doing there, because I don't need to tell your story, because
this is you.
But the thing is, what I do say to him is like, he's still the same guy as what I remember at college. You're humble, you're considerate. It's like everyone that used to talk about you, or that still talks about you, they remember Tam as Tam, and I say he hasn't changed, because regardless of how much money he's earning, how successful he's been at it, he's still the same person. And I'm not just saying that because you're a very religious person, and it's because your religion, I wouldn't say forces you, but that's just the way it's kind of embedded in you to be. But this is you as a person as well.
Yeah, like, honestly, like with me, I don't even see, like, success is like, who measures success? For me, I'm honestly, like, just nothing. I just, social media portrays, like, this and that. I've just done things, why? Because other people don't have the opportunity. I just got lucky opportunities. It's like timing. Just open a gym, like many people have gyms. Got lucky in some things, featuring a few projects, like we can talk about. But, you know, like, one thing about me is just, I always think outside the box, and if I think I can just do what I want to. If I have a goal, I think I can just achieve it. I'm always got that mentality, but, like, for me, success is having a family and kids. I don't care about money, I wear the same t-shirt, bro, shorts, dirty sneakers. Everyone knows me. I'm still like a London boy, like, UK boy, like, Nike.
A roadman.
I'm a roadman, bro. I love it. Like, that's me. I don't wear tight skinny jeans, and I don't, it's not me. I don't care. Netflix, ice cream, chill, babies. Movies, and that's it. And there's no such thing for me as successful. Success is when you're content. And the only way content is with God, family, and just realizing there's a purpose in life. Just be good. One day you're all gonna die. No one cares about how much money you got. No one cares how tough you're. There's always tougher. You're humble because, see, fighters are usually humble. Oh, well, I'm an average fighter, nothing. Well, Khabib and Mugia. But because every fighter's got their ass kicked once in life, so that humbles you. There's always a goal, kick your ass, and that's life. But the main thing is just treat people how you want to be treated. Don't be an idiot. Like, I ain't got time for arrogant idiots. Like, my gym, I throw them out. If anyone acts like a get out, like, I don't care who you are. Like, just be real, respect people, and I've been raised like that. Like, someone elderly comes on or walks in, you get up, give them a seat, shake their hand. That's how it should be, like, Christians, Jews, whatever. Absolutely. Even if you don't, like, as a person, that's just morals. You know what I mean? If you don't have that morals, then you're going to have a fucked up way of thinking. Like, I pull people up on it, and I just hate it. And they're just, there's no such thing as anyone, everyone's equal. You know, I just don't like treat everyone the same. We're all going to die tomorrow. We can all lose everything. I can lose anything tomorrow.
So, where were we? Yes, so...
social media and stuff. I post once in a blue moon. And, I mean, especially in Dubai, it's just so... You're like girls showing their arse and stuff and getting likes and saying I'm a motivator. You get like, I just can't... It's so fake. Like, no one posts real life. No one posts being broke. No one posts having a bad day. Everything's like, yeah, life's good. Gandhi quotes, showing arse and tits. Guys all thinking they're bad, like, with cars, I hate it, it's just shit. I only do it because it helps my brand, if I have to, you know, because the gym and the brand, but honestly, I think it's just the devil's tool sometimes. The amount of shit on social media, I get scared for the future of kids and stuff. You get bullied, you get, like, if you're not cool now, people can bully you. There's so much shit I read. So it's just a bullshit system. Everyone, like, in the old days, if you had talent or something, you know, like, when we were younger, you know, like, you're popular anyway on the street, everyone know you, or... Now everyone's a superstar on the, behind that computer. But it's all fake. I see guys who are like that, and I walk past them, they're like that. And I'm like, you're the guy off Instagram, that. You know, it's just mad. Or filters, and you see a woman who looks like Cindy Crawford on Instagram, and you meet her in real life, she looks like Vicky Pollard. It's like, hey, the fuck? It's just bullshit.
Yeah,
that's the Instagram lifestyle.
Have you encountered, like, trolls and that kind of shit on social media? You can handle yourself, but when you see the likes of Caroline Flack taking her life, because she can't deal with everything that's going on with the media and all that kind of stuff. How do you as a person, because you're a bit of a celebrity yourself, right? Let's be real.
But no, I get loads of bullshit people send me, but I just laugh. Like, I used to reply and go, yeah, your mother tastes good, or you're my kid, I don't like her, and yeah, you're the child I never wanted. But then, I'm like, why am I replying to this fucking fake profile? Like, because I know they're idiots and I know it hurts. I'm like, yeah, tell your mother I enjoyed it, but she's like, stinks, and your father left you and I can buy him. And like, I thought, just, hey. And it's always put people in my own community, you know? And you always get bullshit, but I just, now you've got that thing where you can decline and request. I get low, I don't care, I don't read it. And these celebs who, like, I don't know why they get, like, it's got, like, I feel bad for these people who put themselves, but it's part of the territory, you know what I mean? They're famous, they've got to deal with it, you know? Like, imagine people like Michael Jackson, what he went through. Like, that's fucking famous. And so that's part of the life. They enjoy it. Customers and these media pay their bills. You just got to deal with it, you know? Like, it's bad, like, the media's always going to talk shit, but you've got to just be smart, got to have good management and stuff, but, yeah, there's always trolls, man, like, and I see people posting anti-Islamic things or racist stuff, and I'm about to get into a big debate on fate. I'm thinking, fucking, why am I wasting my time with some knob behind the screen, like, who's probably, like, 256 pounds eating a pizza, wanking in his mum's basement, like, who gives a fuck what he thinks of me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The guy's, like, 47, and he, like, puts his cock in his mum's hoover and, like, thinks that's sex. I don't care, like, you know, like, but before I get annoyed, so you've got to just, like, not give a shit. Like, my friends with Amir Khan, the boxer, and the shit he gets, I'm like, man, how does he do it? He doesn't give a fuck. He gets abuse on every pick, but he don't give a shit, you know? So I'm thinking, I'm nothing, so who cares, like, you know? You've got to just not give a shit. Everyone's going to diss you, even if you're big or not, or whoever you are. It's always people you know close who don't say it are the biggest haters. They're always the fucking biggest bastards.
Ain't that the truth? Well, look, before we wrap it up, and again, thanks for your time, man. Really appreciate it. So you've obviously done a lot in MMA out here. You've got your own gym. You've got the new ring, the octagon in there.
Yeah, refurb cage. Yeah.
So what's next on the horizon for you? Because you had your own podcast. I don't know if you've done any recently. You did one with Badu Jack. Your friend.
I stole that for a bit because season and kids and just, like, I was traveling and doing some business, but. I'm going to get that back up. I'm looking for some settle. Like, I want to make a fixed studio.
Mm-hmm.
Getting spots here, you know how hard it is, and sound and cameras. I'm so shit with the...
Well, I'm balancing mine on three ashtrays.
This aspect, I'm so rubbish at the edit, but I know... but I want to... I want to run for the presidency of America next. And I'm joking, but something. But no, I don't know what's next. Like, I'm just thinking, just be a good dad, see what's going on, and... It's like staying healthy, you know what I mean? I'm looking after my health more. Like, I looked pregnant with twins myself, like, a few months back. Now I'm starting to cut weight again, like, and just eat healthy. And got a few other goals, projects, but I'm flying in March to LA. There's a few projects in movies and acting, so I'm gonna, just for a passion, try that out. So yeah, guys, if nothing happens, it's a free holiday, you know what I mean? And see what happens, but. You know, I change. I'm like, one day I want to do this, the next day I do that. I'm just like that. I watch the people around with this. I also want to go back to UK eventually and work in the government or politics regarding just integrating Muslim communities with English communities and just helping this situation.
Like an educational thing more than anything?
Yeah, just get rid of this Islamophobia and show that we're not. I just like integrating the communities. Like, I want to work with some... I see a lot of shit I don't like how it's just everyone's so secluded now, and there's this like ghetto, everyone sticks their own now. I don't like that. They weren't like that when I was younger, so I want to do a lot of work like that if I can. And let's see. But the main thing is, like, just hope you wake up every day and just
But that's it.
Be positive.
That's it.
But look, you pay the bills.
You've come from Canvey Island, you went to Barnet College, a little college in the centre of Barnet, and here you are, so successful, you know, but yet still humble. And what, have you got any messages for any youngsters that are potentially watching this to think, you know, where can I be in the future? Is there anything that you'd say to them?
Or just like I said, whatever you can do, stay positive and just don't listen to people's bullshit. If you've got a goal, do it. You know, if you've got a goal, just go for it. If you fail, who cares, man, you know?
You should try.
No one's going to be the people are successful ones who fail a million times. Mm. Just go for whatever you want to do. Like, just be real and just have faith in God. I believe you need to be God-fearing and believe in God. I honestly believe that's the base of everyone's life, should be faith. Because at the end of the day, without faith, you have nothing.
Faith in yourself, faith in the man upstairs.
Faith in God. And everything's written, I believe, so it doesn't matter what you do. It's all written, so you shouldn't stress about bullshit. That's why I don't care. Like, everyone's like, why are these celebrities and millionaires killing themselves? They've got everything, people think, no? They have the money, the fame, but they still kill themselves. Why? Because they've got lack of faith. And it suffers the pressure, they don't know what's next. You know? So I believe faith is so important. God and Zen, meditation, praying, whatever you want to call it. I think that sets your boundaries in life and your morals and values.
Brilliant. Well, mate, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Hopefully we could do this
again. A proper one, yeah.
Come to England, though. I'll come back here. No doubt I'll be back.
Yeah, you're back. So good, definitely. Pleasure, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you, mate. Thank you much. Well, that's it for us. I hope you enjoyed this interview. That's it. Great stuff. There you go. Tam Khan, ladies and gents. Hope you enjoyed it. Cheers.